Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We have some great conversation ahead of us today. We're going to talk about some training sessions coming up very soon on domestic violence and child abuse in the so some resources from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on responding to that and caring for individuals in those circumstances. So hopefully you can stick around for those conversations. Great guests to talk about that. In the second half, we're going to talk about Lutheran Church Extension Fund. What's going on over there? Our friend, the president of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Rich Robertson, is going to join us and give us some updates on things going on with LCEF. Really cool events coming up again here in just a few weeks, actually. We'll get to that in the second half. Well, joining us by phone this morning, Karen Hardikoff. She is coordinator for parish nursing in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Karen, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Karen, lots of appellations after your name, all kinds of letters after your name. I know some of them are in, you're certified in all kinds of things, aren't you?
Well, I am a certified lay minister and I am a parish nurse.
Parish nurse. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today. And you serve on the LCMS Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse, correct?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about that task force here in just a little bit. Also joining us in studio today, Deaconess Kim Shave, Director of Project and Policy Administration in the Office of the Chief Administrative Officer here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also Chairwoman of the LCMS Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. Actually, both of you have been on Faith and Family at different times, so I should say welcome back to both of you. Thanks for taking some time to talk with us today. Let's talk about the task force. Karen, what is your involvement with the LCMS Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse?
It's a bit of privilege for me to serve because as a parish nurse within my congregation, and I serve in my district as a ministerial care coalition partner, and as the coordinator for parish nurses throughout the synod, it's important on all levels because in the church setting, in the district setting, to care for our church workers, to educate them, and to know best practice for serving and caring for people that are going through this.
For our guests, or for our listeners who aren't familiar with parish nurses and the parish nurse program in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, maybe they missed our conversation back in November. Can you give us just a quick overview of what is parish nursing?
Sure, parish nursing is exactly following the example of Christ. The church has always sought to care for the people, body and soul. So as parish nurses, we care for the whole person with the intentionality of the Spirit. And we have different roles. We have health education, and that's not only for our parishioners and community, but also for our church workers. And then personal health counseling. We have the one-on-one, like blood pressure screening, home visits. Nurses are still rated as one of the most trusted professionals, so we have a lot of confidentiality conversations that we can have. We look to see what the community health resources are so we can hook up parishioners. And so specifically for this, we all need to know the Domestic Abuse National Hotline number and where our local abuse shelter is. And We integrate the faith and healing, and that's a key. So we do referrals not only to professional help, but also to the pastor when appropriate, and walking with people as they walk through their faith walk. And then we work with the volunteers with all the different ministries.
Deaconess Shave, can you share with us what is the main work of this task force on domestic violence and child abuse?
Oh, sure. Back in Synod and Convention in 2007 and 2010, both times had tasked what had been World Relief and Human Care in the past, which is now the Office of National Mission, with providing materials and trained individuals to assist districts, congregations, and schools in addressing abuse and ministering to the spiritual needs of those struggling with the effects of abuse. That's the official resolution language. So mm-hmm. with that being said, we had formed a task force back after the 2007 convention. It was put on hold a little bit. They did some work and laid some groundwork and has since moved forward, and we've reconvened since 2010. And the primary focus is to identify resources and develop resources that are spiritual in nature, link our members and our church workers to actual materials that mm-hmm. can be practical in nature. But again, on the theological side, we've had to develop our own. We're finding the LCMS is very unique in the law gospel approach that we maintain when it comes to abuse, especially domestic violence. Not all church bodies necessarily view this the same way that we do. In some ways, they look at this as, you know, the woman needs to remain in this marriage, or the husband, if he is the one being abused, at all costs, and really be a doormat, so to speak, and accept this terrible behavior because of a misinterpretation of scripture and what God would say about divorce. So in some cases, we're seeing women who have been yoked unfairly in men with staying in a marriage and suffering abuse, and then the impact that has on their children. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to help present this in a light of a gospel focus, where if there is a possibility for that marriage or that relationship to be saved, that's wonderful. But we need to look outside of just the spiritual care aspect and get this woman or this man or these children help from outside sources as well that are the practical support that they need.
And so developing these resources is something we talked about, I believe, last time.
Yes.
when you and Reverend
Larry Vogel.
Thank you. Larry Vogel came over to talk about that. And so now the task force has been working on developing these resources and preparing to offer some training.
Absolutely.
In the very near future.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Karen, what can you tell us about the upcoming training? What will be involved in this training?
Well, there's going to be actually two trainings with parish nurses. The first one will be with the parish nurse district representatives, which will be May 26th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Concordia hosts our annual meeting for the reps. And so that training will be for the reps. And then a couple days later, at the annual National Parish Nurse Health Ministry Conference that Concordia holds, there will be another training for all the nurses that attend and church workers that attend from across the nation.
Very good. So all the parish nurses, including the district reps, will be trained at this event. What will the training look like? What will attendees be equipped with in this training, Karen?
Well, a couple of goals is that we want, as a task force, we want to be sure that the church workers, whether it be parish nurses, pastors, deaconesses, and lay people in leadership to be trained in best practice. As nurses, we do have training in domestic abuse and child abuse, but we need best practice. We need to know the most up-to-date, best way to care for people, and that is what this training will do. And the other thing this training will also do is to encourage the attendees to go home to their congregation with this information, to encourage their pastors to seek out this training themselves, as well as the district reps to go home to their districts and promote this education from the task force to be brought to their districts. So the more people that can hear this training, the better our people in our congregations and communities may be cared for.
Who will be presenting at this training? Who will be leading the training, and what is their expertise? What is their background? Karen?
Kim, do you have that information?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to talk about that. We are very blessed with a clinical psychologist on our task force, Dr. Stephen Saunders, who is a professor at Marquette, and he's the one that's primarily developed this training for us mm-hmm. on domestic violence. He has personal experience with it and then professional experience as well. So he has formulated this training for us. So he will be leading that along with Sandra Ostapowicz. So we've made a commitment that when we have training sessions, which are now available for free, we can go to districts. We're able to come at our own expense and offer this training, that we will have both a male and a female. So both genders are covered. We recognize that this is a problem that affects both men and women. So we feel it's helpful to have our trainers representing both genders.
And so this will be offered at the parish nurse conference and the parish nurse reps. And Karen, you mentioned that they'll be encouraged to go out and encourage invite their pastors to attend future training and districts to invite training. Kim, is this training hopefully going to be offered at districts as well?
That's what we've been tasked with by Synod. So we are hoping we have some other potential training venues in place with districts, a couple coming up, one in April, one in May with various districts. We are in conversations with more districts to be able to bring this training to them. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at offering a fall conference in the here in St. Louis at Concordia Seminary. We're having some logistical discussions on how that may happen, possibly in proximity or conjunction with their symposia. So we're hoping to really roll out this program, a two-day training process, the first day being domestic violence, the second day being child abuse, right here in St. Louis as sort of our pilot training program.
Now, with the district trainings that you're working on, did you say you have some lined up already?
We do, yes.
And what districts are already jumping on board and ready to do this training?
Mid-South District and Iowa East. We're both, we'll be presenting at both of a pastor's conference and another conference in Iowa East.
So those are all, and those are all coming up in the coming year then,
yes,
as well.
Right.
Well, glad to hear that some districts have already made those arrangements. I know that you're working hard to arrange these across all 35 districts.
Right.
Wow. You've got your work cut out for you, huh?
Well, they'll invite us. We have wonderful grant resources available to bring this training to them. So if they will have us, we will be there.
That's great. Karen, why do you think this training is so important for parish nurses?
Well, there's a lot of information that is presented in this training, but part of the training, the way the presenters and Steve, that they send it up, is role-playing as well. So it helps the people who are attending to be more comfortable and be able to care for someone, not only in a critical situation, but follow-up care, the effects of abuse last years and years.
And Kim, why do you think that, this is something that's come out of convention that each district would have this training, but why is it important for pastors and for lay people alike to have this training?
Well, what we're seeing in the church, especially as our materials have been more publicized, people are contacting us directly and expressing their own concerns about folks that they know in their church, even church workers that are affected by this. One in four men and one in three women, through a recent study by the CDC, has come forward and said they have in some way been impacted by intimate partner violence. It's much more prevalent, especially in the church, than what we want to believe. And it's really important that we be well prepared, adequately prepared, able to respond in a way, again, that's not just yoking somebody with the law and throwing scripture verses at them, but it's a holistic approach where we're looking at this from a gospel viewpoint. A woman or man who's been suffering an abuse or a child already knows the law better than any of us, so we need to really help them understand that Christ is there in the midst of their suffering, and we can help walk them through that and point them to resources to get them the practical support they need, along with the spiritual support that we're offering as a church.
And as a pastor, being equipped with this, being knowledgeable of what is domestic violence, or as the term you used, intimate partner
violence. Yes, yes.
Understanding what that is and just the emotional aspects of it, understanding everything, having the big picture understanding of this, really equips pastors to provide that pastoral care that they're given to provide to their flock, as well as laypersons, as well as deaconesses, parish nurses. I think this is important for all of us to have this understanding of what is domestic violence, so that we can respond, as you said, with that gospel approach.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's important too to realize, we are not experts. Karen, thankfully, you know, we're so blessed to have her on our task force, and her nursing background is very helpful. But for pastors and other church workers, we don't necessarily have the level of training, unless someone has been certified in family counseling. We don't have that. We cannot hesitate at all to refer them out to a local domestic violence shelter or another counseling agency. We aren't always at capacity with being mm-hmm. able to fix the problem or to address it adequately on the practical side, especially. So please, for anyone listening, don't be afraid to refer out. Walk alongside these men and women or these children from a spiritual standpoint. But there's so much that's necessary from a legal and more of a protective standpoint when it comes to the police presence and things, especially in some of these domestic violence situations. We've read about them repeatedly mm-hmm. on the news lately.
Yeah. We just recently here on Faith and Family had the chance to talk with the director of development from Humanitree as she shared her story of domestic violence and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And now she serves as the director of development for Humanitree. And her story, I think, is very encouraging that one can come out of that and not only survive, but now she's thriving and doing well.
Right. Absolutely. When the church handles it well mm-hmm. and understands where their role ends and where a counselor or mm-hmm. the legal system starts, then we hear wonderful stories. But where the church doesn't particularly listen to a woman or a man who may be afflicted by domestic violence and dismisses their concerns, the chance of them leaving the church altogether, we're finding, is so great. So it's so important that we're prepared mm-hmm. adequately, ready to respond to the needs that these folks have in our church.
Karen, from your perspective, how common is it for a church worker to encounter a member or someone in the community who has experienced domestic violence?
As parish nurses, I can speak to that right away, is because we're on the ground. We have a lot of contact with people, mm-hmm. and it could be through like a blood pressure screening when we pull up their sleeves, or maybe when we go to their home to follow up on a hospitalization or something, and we see or kind of things are not quite right, something is going on. So it's those types of things that might come up. And we have a school at our congregation, and so teachers also are on the ground, and so that they might notice things, mm-hmm. you know, with the children and things like that. It's more common, like Kim said, than we know. And so our being alert and aware is very important. That's one of the things that this training also brings out, is some of the signs. And so as you look at something, you go, oh, I remember that from training. Maybe I better, mm-hmm. you know, look more deeply and care more, more humbly.
Karen, you bring up a good point that as Lutheran teachers work with families, that this would probably be a helpful training for them as well to understand the signs and to be able to respond faithfully.
Right. And Kim talked about, you know, the preparation, and I think we all need to have in our cell phone the Domestic Abuse National Hotline phone number, mm-hmm. because when you're in a situation, you're with someone, they're in a situation, like Kim said, they're the ones who know how to keep someone safe. Mm-hmm. As nurses, we're trained, but we're not even trained in the knowledge of how to keep someone safe unless we have an extra training. So I have that abuse national hotline, and my phone number is actually 800-799-7233.
Yeah, 800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Right.
That's an important number to have, as you said. That's something just to store in your phone, to have it. You never know when you might need to share it with someone else.
Right. And then as a church worker, find out where your local abuse shelter information is and have that contact mm-hmm. information in your cell as well.
In your opinion, I'll ask both of you each to, in your opinion, what is one thing that that as a layperson I could do that would be helpful? One thing that maybe I need to learn, or one thing that I could do that would be helpful in responding faithfully to domestic violence or changing perceptions on how we respond to it. I'll start with Karen. What's one thing that I could do?
one of the things I first thought of was to go to the LCMS website and to get the resources that are already posted there, because it is a great way, a tool to bring awareness not only to yourself, so then you're more aware, mm-hmm. but also resources that you can share with someone as well.
Kim, one thing that I could do to respond faithfully to domestic violence or change perspectives on it?
Right. The website, she stole my idea, going to look at some of the wonderful resources we've identified and developed. It's a growing list. It's at lcms.org/social issues. I would say more and more, as I hear from women and men directly, listen, just listen and believe and help. We're really looking at three mm-hmm. aspects of our materials: understanding, identifying, and helping. And the best thing you can do to help is to listen and believe. Some of the abusers may be right in our church. They may be our pastors. They may be our church workers. They may be elders, very, you know, held in high esteem in our church, and they're master manipulators at times, the abusers. So we have to believe, when someone finally builds up the courage to talk about it, believe them and point them to resources, and do all you can to pray with them and mm-hmm. point them to the help that they need.
To listen, listen without judgment.
And absolutely.
And it's not necessarily our responsibility to solve the problem right
no.
then and there.
No, it's not. Listen. And again, as Karen said, if you have access to that, the domestic violence number in mm-hmm. that case, child abuse is a little bit different, because we're mandatory reporters mm-hmm. in most cases, where domestic violence does not have that requirement. So it's important to be familiar with the resources that are local and, you know, national as well in the instance of domestic violence.
Very good. Well, information, Karen, information on the upcoming Parish Nurse Conference, or the training available there. Anything you want to share with our listeners to help them find out more about that?
Well, actually, they can go to www.lcms.org/help. And within that area, there's parish nursing and a congregational health ministry. And there's education opportunities and the Concordia's contact information is in there for being able to find out more about the conference coming up.
Very good. Very good. Kim, anything else about the training or the task force, the task force on domestic violence and child abuse that we'd like to share as we wrap up our conversation today?
Sure. In the March reporter that will be coming out soon, there is an insert that is a slick flyer. It's two-sided, and we are just really hoping that churches will post those in conspicuous places around the church. It points women and men to resources that they may need, and it really encourages on one side of it to allow them to, or encourage mm-hmm. them to finally just speak out and ask the pastor, ask the church worker, or a friendly lay member to just talk to them about it. And that's why I would just encourage anyone listening, just listen. If somebody does come forward as a result of this potential push that we have mm-hmm. to build awareness, it's much more prevalent than what we want to believe. And they're out there, 1 in 4, 1 in 3 men or women. So,
And as you mentioned, the resources can be found online, lcms.org/social issues.
Yes, correct.
Very good. Well, thank you both for being my guest today. Karen Hardikoff, coordinator for parish nursing in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. It was a privilege.
And Deaconess Kim Shave, thank you so much for being our guest. Kim serves as the Director for Project and Policy Administration, the Office of the Chief Administrative Officer here at the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and Chairwoman of the LCMS Task Force on Domestic Violence and Child Abuse. Kim, thanks so much for being our guest here on Faith and Family again today.
Thanks for having us, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our conversation with Rich Robertson from Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more Faith and Family right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Kathleen and Chris Smith were left totally heartbroken when pregnancy after pregnancy ended in miscarriage. Those who've lost one or more babies to miscarriage know full well the pain Kathleen and Chris endured. The Smiths desperately wanted to parent children, so they became licensed in foster care. As a result, infant twin boys, Jesse and Joseph, were placed in their home. Ironically, the mother had twice scheduled an abortion but failed to show at the same abortion mill where the Smiths had done sidewalk counseling. Over time, the biological mother lost custody of the boys, and Kathleen and Chris eagerly adopted them. They encourage couples to step out of their comfort zone and offer their home to kids who yearn for a forever home. God will take it from there, so please give foster parenting your prayerful consideration.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
What do the Ten Commandments, the cleansing of the temple, and the foolishness of God have in common? Monday on Issues, Etc., it's our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning series with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Issues, Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
In our 75th year, we are blessed at Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service with all that the Lord has helped us accomplish, and we are especially grateful to the churches and New American ministries who took part in our anniversary. As we continue the journey, take a minute to learn more about Lutheran's special history of welcoming the sojourner through our celebration video at lirs.org/historyofwelcome.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Rich Robertson, President and CEO of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Rich, glad to have you back.
Andy, it's great to be here, and it's also great to be a supporter of KFUO. So thanks for the invitation.
Well, thanks. I hear your voice all the time here at KFUO with the LCEF, the spots that play out throughout the day. But I always enjoy our conversations when we get to talk face-to-face as well and hear about what's going on at LCEF. How are things going at LCEF? What is the mission? What is the work of LCEF, and how are things going keeping up with that?
Well, I have to take you back, because the whole concept of church extension really began in 1902 when a group of Lutherans were basically raising funds to support a startup congregation in a neighboring community. And that's really what mm-hmm. we're all about today. Now, granted, there's a whole host of other things that we do in terms of ministry resources that we provide that are well above and beyond what we did back in 1902. But the mission is supporting our church, is ensuring that funds and resources are available today and in the future so that we can perpetuate the sharing of the gospel throughout the world. Hmm. So that's what we do, it's through an incredible group of investors that give us the ability and resources to do what we do day in and day out.
Well, I understand you have some, it's a fun event coming up. We talked about this about a year ago, the National Student Marketing Competition that Lutheran Church Extension Fund organizes. and sponsors. Let's talk about that. That's coming up soon.
It is. It's happening now because the students mm-hmm. at all the universities are working on their presentation to a group here in St. Louis. But it started 4 years ago when we came up with the idea of having this competition. The reason why we this evolved is because what we wanted to do is source information from a younger generation. Mm-hmm. LCEF, like many other agencies of our church, is trying to figure out how do we engage the younger population to be part of what we do and be part of this work that's being done mm-hmm. for churches worldwide. So the idea was germinated that we would actually have a competition amongst our Concordias. What better than to go actually to the younger generation and actually talk to them?
It's like the CIT of marketing. It's the Concordia Invitational Tournament.
It is. And back when we started this 4 years ago, we went to the marketing and business schools of the Concordias and shared with them the idea, what the task would be, and kind of all of that. And the first year, we got three Concordias to join us, which we thought was terrific. Mm-hmm. You know, get it started, see how it would go. What we do is we actually spend 2 months working with them, answering their questions as they're developing a response to what the task is for that particular year. And so three the first year, mm-hmm. five the second year, six the third year, and this year we have all 10 Concordias that will be part
really?
Of this competition.
Wow.
So obviously we did some things right in mm-hmm. terms of how we structure it, the way in which the students are treated as they come and join us here in St. Louis, and then just the value to them. And mm-hmm. we get some marvelous letters from the students afterwards saying, we could not have had a higher results with this in terms of our expectations. You blew them out of the water. And truly, it's been really a great relationship with Concordias. Mm-hmm. And obviously, by having all 10 this year, Selma was kind of the holdout, if you would, for this year. And we are so pleased that Selma will be joining us this year.
That's
as
awesome.
Well. So it's just great. Great stuff.
I had the privilege of talking with some of the teams last year. I had a chance to talk with them here on Faith and Family. And that was some pretty serious competition.
There was. There's a professor that's tied to five students from each of the universities that come in. That's the team mm-hmm. that's been working on this. And they come in their Sunday best. I mean, they're
yeah.
dressed to go to board meetings and
right.
all. They're presenting in the Winneken Room right here at the IC in front of a crowd, quite candidly, because now this has evolved to a big interest in terms of listening and hearing what they have to say. And ultimately, then we treat them to a dinner as kind of the end of the event mm-hmm. in which we then announce who the winner is. We have a panel that is voting on what they're saying, and not only what they're saying, but how they're saying it. It's tied to not only the presentation, but it's also the document that they bring to us that's evaluated in terms of how it's structured and how it was brought forward to us. So the panel consists of about eight individuals from across the LCMS world. In fact, I think, Andy, you know that you've actually been invited this year, and you've accepted to be on our judges panel.
I am looking forward to it. It is, I think we're just going to have a great time. It's going to be a long day.
It is.
I looked over the schedule, and for the students, I'm sure, who are presenting, kind of almost a nerve-wracking day for them, you know, depending on when they're presenting. But what an exciting day. I'm really looking forward to hearing all these students present. Is there anything you can share about what I know last year the project was based
assisting
around schools.
Schools.
Yes,
right.
Assisting schools. Can you share with us what the project is this year?
It's not something that we're hiding. It's our competition assignment is asking students to develop a comprehensive plan that raises the awareness of LCEF, perhaps at the Concordias themselves, mm-hmm. and how it impacts the LCMS, and ultimately on communities and individuals, how LCEF is a catalyst for empowered ministries and people sharing the gospel. So we're asking them to take that assignment and develop it. And also, they'll come up with an actual marketing plan with how much the dollar cost would be. So they're actually giving us a breakdown of costs associated mm-hmm. with what they would recommend us doing as we seek to build our awareness and we seek to have a further reach than we have today. So it's no small task.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see, Andy, that they come in prepared with all kinds of material that they actually developed, the surveys that they've done mm-hmm. with congregations locally. They do a significant amount of analysis. So you know, this is actually awarded a grade by many of the Concordias. So this is their project, mm-hmm. and they know that they need to do it right. And obviously finishing number one would kind of guarantee them a higher grade than perhaps the one that finishes 10th. So I guess
it all depends on who your professor is. You know?
That's true. It could be. But it is if anyone that's listening is in this area on April the 10th, it's an open door opportunity for mm-hmm. you. And we would be delighted to have you come in and see these students and just be so proud of our universities and what mm-hmm. they're doing with our students, I want you to know.
I was quite impressed with their work last year and getting to visit with them. As you said, they came in prepared to present before boards, and they were dressed for the occasion. I was quite impressed with the students.
I try not to play the role of a judge or anything like that. I get to be kind of the champion of the kids. So I kind of meet them in the back rooms here and mm-hmm. kind of cheer them on and let them know that, you know, that we are so delighted to have them here with us and just try to be the encouragement for them during the day so that they don't feel like they're just all on a platform being watched all the time. So, again, can't wait. It's one of the highlights, I want you to know, of what we do in terms of our marketing efforts, and we're really delighted with that.
Speaking of college students, let's talk about internships. I know LCEF offers internships from time to time. Any summer internships this year?
Actually, we do have an internship program again this year. We started it about 3 years or so ago as well, and it was a kind of a follow-up, quite candidly, to the National Student Marketing Competition. We saw the absolute opportunity to have some of these students be with us on a longer-term basis. So we have some in we have one in marketing, we have one in finance. We have one in our loans group as well as in our IT group. And we're seeking applications to be turned in to us by April the 3rd. And you can access the application process at our website, mm-hmm. www.lcef.org. And you'll see what the qualifications are and kind of where the areas are that they can experience it. So we would very much encourage anyone that knows of or is listening and is a student that would have an interest of being part of our internship program. We also find that to be a very mm-hmm. A very good part of for us of learning because they bring to us some very interesting information that we wouldn't normally get unless we had the opportunity of sharing it with them.
So LCEF does a lot to partner with and encourage young people, these college students, and I love seeing that. That's one of the things I think that keeps LCEF engaged with the next generation. Well, let's talk a little bit about investments. Last time you and I talked, I believe we talked about a new investment for those who are getting people engaged who aren't necessarily investing with LCEF.
You know, we want to broaden the net and kind of share the opportunity of being in partnership with us in terms of the ministries that we support. And it's critical that we continue to grow in terms of our investment partners.
Mm-hmm.
So back when I was here the last time, we were just launching at that time a product called Connect Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were looking to do is to try to attract individuals by way of a rate, quite candidly, so that you know it was a premium rate than what could be secured in the more secular providers. And the idea was to start to teach them about what it is that we do and how we do it so that after that rate and that term rate was expired, then they would want to be part of LCEF for other reasons mm-hmm. than just the rate side. So we have this Connect Plus that is still available, whereby we're offering a premium rate of 3% on the first $5,000 invested with LCEF. And this is for only those that have not been an investor with LCEF. So again, it's a way of attracting some new individuals and to be partners with us. And it's a 2-year term, by the way, so it has a limited term to it. But all this information that I share with you, the best thing to do is to go to our website because it's all there. It has all the details. Or perhaps calling one of our customer service reps that would be more than delighted to share a lot of information. So that's one of our new investment opportunities that have been underway. So you know, by the way, the growth of new investors has been phenomenal for LCEF. We have seen a real turnaround in terms of that, and we're enjoying some of the highest growth of new investors that we've seen in many, many years. So it's great to have new partners be part of what we're doing.
And I'm glad you mentioned the website, lcef.org. If you go to the website today, you could see a picture of Rich on the website, too, in the studio here at Worldwide KFUO. Go check it out, lcef.org. Okay, so let's talk about young families investing or somebody right out of college. Maybe they don't have a lot to invest. What are the options for them?
Well, you know, when you say they don't have a lot to invest, you know, there's no requirement at LCEF. $25, start an account, open an account, a steward account. What you're going to find is typically our rates are better than what you would find in the commercial market. Why is that? Is because we don't have shareholders. We don't have those expenses, if you would, that are tied to what you would find in more of the commercial type environment. One of the things, too, that I wanted to bring up that I did not mention a few minutes ago is the fact that we also have another product that we're rewarding our current investors with. Because not only do we want to attract new investors, but we also want to make sure that our current investors are also with us long term as well. And the product that we have that is called Partner Plus, and what that basically does is it gives the opportunity of our current investors that invest new resources with us a 2-year note for a 4-year period. I'm sorry, a 2-year note or a 4-year note for either a 2% or a 2.5% interest rate. And again, it's our way of ensuring that we have our current investors rewarded as well for what they do on an ongoing basis. But to answer your question again, it's not as if there's a need to deposit $5,000 with us. It can start off as small as $25. And we have many, many investors that regularly invest those kind of dollars with us and have built a nice incremental pot as over the years because of their commitment. And not only building the security for themselves, but what we also do is we ensure that we're sharing those resources with ministries throughout the LCMS.
And that's what I wanted to point out next is not only is it a wise investment for you as an individual or for you as a family, but it's also helping out LCMS ministries.
You know that when you invest in LCEF, that you know exactly where it goes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going towards the support of ministries tied to our church body. You can't say that when you go outside of LCEF. We really don't know where those dollars are invested when you start talking about secular providers like ourselves. And maybe you don't want to know where some of that goes as well because of what potentially they have in terms of regulations and all that we don't. So I share with everyone the fact that when you can have high confidence in terms of where those invested dollars are. And, you know, we are seeing some tremendous new opportunities that are surfacing now that 2008 has and the economic challenges that were all tied to that year are starting to stabilize. We're starting to see congregations. We're starting to see other agencies of the church that are really making a difference right now in terms of adding to their current ministry and reaching out and touching more than what they currently have. And with that are some requirements of resources. And we're delighted that they're coming to LCEF for those discussions where we can provide some of those resources as they're growing and as they're doing things that are really impacting communities throughout the world.
I know we've talked about young families or those who are already partners with LCEF, but there's one other group that that I have to mention, and that's because our family does this too, and that's the Young Investors Club. Still going strong?
Oh, my gosh. The Young Investor Club, you know, just was kind of a simple idea, and that was, you know, how can we attract the youngest of the youngest, like your child.
Yeah.
And the idea was, again, to provide slightly higher interest rates, but at the same time, provide an educational component mm-hmm. as well. And so that there were, based on the age, a educational component that addressed stewardship in a fun way. And that's what we did. And I will tell you that the new investors of this Young Investment Club total today close to 7,000.
Wow.
And that's a pretty awesome number, I want you to know.
That's great.
It really is. And the dollar amounts is not important here. What it is we're going to be able to grow with them and perhaps be part of that growing, mm-hmm. if you would, with the idea of stewardship. So we are just so delighted that really took off and continues to take off. It's still available. Again, I encourage everybody to go to www.lcef.org for all the details associated with that. But it is truly a wonderful, wonderful program for those that are grandparents, those that are parents. Yeah. It's a great way of giving gifts to them that are very meaningful and will be very meaningful for many years to come.
Exactly. You can only have so many toys in your home that make sound or require batteries. Instead of getting one more toy that requires batteries or makes noise, put that money right. in the Young Investors Club. It's really a better choice.
And there will be a deep appreciation as the
held
years
by all.
Go. That's right. Exactly. So it's been terrific.
I'm glad you mentioned it again, the website, because that's where we can find information on Young Investors, but also, as you mentioned, the Partners Plus and what was the Connect?
Connect Plus, Partners Plus, YI Club, and mm-hmm. then we also have our traditional accounts like our family emergency account or mm-hmm. our steward accounts. All of that is there with all the detail, and I would be remiss if I didn't again say that the ladies that we have that handle all of our customer responses by telephone, our info reps are also very, very able to answer any questions that you might have as well. Phone numbers right there at the website, so please make sure that you take advantage of that.
And the nicest people in the world that answer the phones there.
There are.
Because I'm the person that calls who's forgot his password every year. So,
and I know because they tell me.
Because they tell you that guy over at KFUO can't remember his password. Stories from the field of ministries that have benefited from LCEF.
You know, this is where, for me, it's been just a personal joy to have joined LCEF 5 years ago and see the impact that this organization has. You know, right now you're hearing a lot about the Wittenberg Project,
mm-hmm.
and its its completion is right around the corner, and we'll be celebrating that in the early May.
Mm-hmm.
But LCEF is providing bridge financing for that. We've got a lot of individuals that have made commitments against that project, but clearly from a timing standpoint, it doesn't always work out. So went to LCEF asking for that kind of bridge financing, and we're delighted to be able to provide that, if you would. So this is not even in the United States. It's outside of the United States that we're providing those kind of things. But there's schools. I don't know if you know, Andy, Crean High School in Southern California. It started about 4 or 5 years ago. The new facility that they have was built in this area of Orange County that you got to wonder, a Lutheran high school in this part of Orange County, is it going to succeed? I got to tell you, their enrollment, I think, is well over 600 now.
Wow.
They are getting students from all over the world. Their campus is just incredible in terms of what they've done, and the folks there are just enjoying just an incredible amount of growth, and it was funded through the resources provided by LCEF, and certainly a lot of work by the organization themselves to be able to create this incredible opportunity for folks in Southern California. So, you know, this is That's just another great example. I wish I could take people and show them what these campuses look like and what these kids are doing and seeing them all in chapel and enjoying a Christian education is just absolutely wonderful. So on the other side of this is an urban mission initiative called Lumen, and that's a Milwaukee-based network of Lutheran schools. And Lumen shares resources with us and expertise to achieve the mission again of the sharing of the gospel, and it's helping keep schools viable and focused on providing, you know, effective, Christ-centered, results-oriented education. And you know, this was an area in Milwaukee that was not going to succeed. And Lumen has come in and has done just a marvelous job in terms of redoing and bringing a focus within the community. And today it's vibrant. And it's just great to see that, you know, we were able to just be that small cog, and they were the ones that were able to bring the ministry forward. So it's across the board, Andy. We can talk all day here if you want about the impact, if you would, of those resources provided by those investors to LCEF to do his kingdom work right here in the United States and beyond.
That's great to hear, and makes me more confident in the investments that I have there, that my family has there with LCEF, and to be partners in this. Share with us, we have just a couple of minutes left, just a few minutes left to talk about the credit union. Last time we talked, I think we briefly talked about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Now, I think when we talked last, it was kind of in that holding pattern, waiting for the charter. And charter has been issued now, correct?
That is absolutely correct. We were blessed with the charter at the end of 2014. And now the entity called the Lutheran Federal Credit Union is now a standalone, separate of LCEF. LCEF provided the role of sponsorship and assisting in the creation, if you would, of the concept and then ultimately bringing it to life. And now that it is breathing.
Yeah.
It is now breathing on its own. And credit union board is now the one responsible for the credit union, which is, again, separate from LCEF. Just recently, it was announced that Tom Book, who was the chief credit officer at LCEF, has now assumed the role of president and CEO of the Lutheran Federal Credit Union and no longer is an employee of LCEF. And they are now in the phase of putting together all the operational components of the credit union so that they can actually open the door of the credit union. Well, they're looking, I think, around June of this year. Right now, it's all the software. Mm-hmm. The beauty of starting a credit union from scratch is that you're able to leverage the latest of technologies. You don't have any systems, legacy systems that you got to worry about. So I think everyone that experiences this credit union is going to be delightfully surprised in terms of the things that they're going to be able to do and enjoy through this new credit union. But so you know, the last time a credit union was actually granted a charter in Missouri was in 2005. So they don't grant them easily. they grant them when they know that they're going to be successful and that they're confident in the business plan and model that's been kind of put forth. But this is a credit union designed solely for members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Unlike LCEF, where we don't lend to LCMS members of congregations, the credit union will have a chance to do that. And it will also have a messaging of stewardship that I think you'll find very graceful and very, very focused that I think will also enhance many things for us as well. So there's still more to come, but the credit union is now moving forward, and I gotta let that go, don't I?
It's like a parent letting their child go.
Exactly right.
Well, I'm grateful that you were able to share that information today. I look forward to talking with them very soon and partnering with them as well and hearing about the work of Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Rich, thank you so much for coming over to talk with me today, sharing with me what's going on at LCEF. Always great to hear about the good work that you all are doing there. Rich Robertson, President and CEO, Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Thanks for being my guest here at Faith and Family today.
Andy, thank you, and thanks KFUO for me.
Oh, it's a privilege. And I look forward to talking with you soon, seeing you at the National Student Marketing Competition. That's coming up soon. And not too far down the road, also, it'll be time for Share-a-thon here at Worldwide KFUO. Hopefully, we'll see you here for that as well. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.